One day this past week, I rose up out of bed at oh dark 30. Well, correct that. I sort of rolled out of bed. I kind of leaned to one side and hung a leg over the side of the bed. And when I felt my foot firmly planted on the floor, I then used the nightstand to get myself up. So I didn't actually rise up. Anyway, I put on my robe and then I stumbled through a darkened path that I'm very familiar with from my bedroom, through the hallway, into the dining room, around the big chair, to the front door to get the newspaper. When I opened the front door, I was greeted with a blast of freezing air. I couldn't believe how cold it was. I hurriedly began to search for the newspaper. It is a morning thing, kind of a game between myself and the person who delivers our paper. Where is it today? Under the porch swing? Between the flower pots? At the bottom of the step? In the flower bed? Right. So anyway, I go out there, I get the paper, I pick it up, I put it under my arm, I'm about to go back inside because I'm thinking right now a cup of hot coffee would really be good. And I don't know why, but I stopped and I looked up. And in that morning sky were a million, billion, gazillion stars shining like I'd never seen them shine before. I mean, they were bright, luminous, twinkling even. And I just stood there and looked at them. And in fact, I was so caught up, I decided to walk out into the middle of the street, which is dangerous on our street because it's a bus that has a trolley and you can't always hear them. But anyway, I stood out there and I looked up the stars, and as they peeked back at me, I thought to myself that it wasn't quite as cold as it was just a few moments ago. I didn't feel so quite alone, and I had a better feeling about the whole day. Shining stars, little beacons of hope. Perhaps that is what the writer Daniel, the author of our first reading this morning, had in mind when he wrote this: "Those who are wise shall shine like stars and lead many to righteousness. Shine like stars forever and ever." Remember once when God said to Abraham, "Your descendants will be like the stars of the sky"? And so it was. From the beginning, with Abraham and Abraham's children, right up to you, born in the waters of holy baptism, born again, children of God, born again to be stars, beacons of hope, to be a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ. This is the light that even the darkness cannot overcome. Standing there that dark morning, looking up at the stars, I thought of that. Stars shine like forever. No darkness can overcome the goodness, the graciousness, the faithfulness of our God, whose love for us in Jesus Christ. Not even the end of the world, which is the subject of two of our readings this morning, the apocalyptic writing of Daniel and Mark 13. That chapter of Mark is known as the Little Apocalypse. It talks about the end of the world. And the disciples sit down with Jesus, and four of them, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, asked, "When will this be?" We all want to know, when will the end of the world be? What will be the signs that the apocalypse is upon us? And then Jesus ticks off a number of the signs. Signs that have to do with chaos and tumultuous times of confusion. Gee, that could be right now, couldn't it? Sure. Let's see. War? I don't know. I haven't read the paper this morning. Is Israel and Hamas still trading deadly missiles? Is this a war that's going to fulfill the rumor that this will extend now to Iran? Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, hurricanes of the wind and water nature like Sandy. And then there are other approaching tumults. We keep hearing, like lemmings, that we are running toward a fiscal cliff. The stock market plunged. There are conversations about mass layoffs of employees. Donald Trump called for revolution. But here is the most ominous sign of all, as far as I'm concerned, that the apocalypse is upon us. Our grocery shelves are now completely bare and empty of Twinkies and Ding Dongs. Gone forever. Seriously. Some people look and they think that we are living in the end times. I was reminded of that in a most bizarre way this past week. Did you get one of these? In my mail. Lisa, you got one. Okay, in my mail. I don't even buy pizza from this company. Anybody get pizza from Palachi's? Yeah? Did you get this? This is the 2012 guide to the end of the world as we know it. And I want to tell you, even though Jesus said you don't know when it is, they do. It is December 21st. And this is the survival guide to how to survive the end of the world. Doomsday, really? Now, this is based on a group of people who aren't even here. They already had their end of the world. The Mayan civilization long calendar, December 21, 2012. Okay. So I was just thinking to myself that perhaps we could learn something from this doomsday guide, perhaps even make a comparison to what Daniel tells us or Jesus tells us. I don't know. See what you think. First of all, they want you to know that nobody calls it a survivalist anymore. They're called preppers. P-R-E-P-P-E-R-S. These are people who do not live off the grid like survivalists. These are people who embrace social media, the internet, Twitter. They're called preppers. And here it is, the prepper's plan for doomsday survival. Now, I thought we should take a look at this because they've identified four different things that are going to be important for those of us who believe that there is an apocalypse. I mean, Jesus did talk about it. Training, shelter, equipment, and a final destination, the place you want to be when it ends. Training. That's an important thing. So here's the thing for training. You want to have meetups. I know, I think we used to call those get-togethers or gatherings. You want to have meetups with other preppers so that you can exchange ideas and keep each other up to date on the latest survival methods. You might actually want to run to one of these and have a 5K to the same place. I don't know, what do we got going on? We got any meetups this week? Let me see, let me just check here real quick. Oh, let's see. Oh, Jody, it's a good thing you're having a birthday celebration before December 21st. That's a kind of a meetup in the Narthex. Oh, here you go. Hey, wait, we got a meetup scheduled. Listen to this. We will again prepare and serve lunches for community lunch on Capitol Hill the next two Tuesdays. Please join your friends, maybe even bring a friend to help prepare to serve or clean up. Details for times and locations are on the sign-up sheets in the Narthex. So we do have a meetup for people this coming Tuesday, serving a lunch. That kind of reminds me of the kind of thing that Daniel said here. And that, you know, sounds to me like an opportunity to be a beacon of hope, to shine like a star in what is for some a very difficult situation, those who come to eat at the lunch program. Now, those of you who want to run up to Capitol Hill, please do. Go ahead. I will drive. Shelter. Second thing important. How many of you remember fallout shelters, people who dug those holes in the back of their yard? Yay! Now, don't raise your hand for this. Did any of you do that? No, don't. Oh, I wish you hadn't. I wish you hadn't done that. It's better not to know. You know, my father was the communications engineer for the county in the 50s, and that was when the King County was under the sheriff's department. not like it is now. And so because it was under the sheriff's department, he was deputized, which meant he had to do this. He had to go on Sunday afternoons and inspect people's fallout shelters. So he would drag my sister and I along, my younger sister, but we thought it was really cool to go down in there. It was like a great playroom. We'd go in people's backyards, and they had these things, you know, down on the ground, and they had all kinds of canned goods and can openers and big metal cans of water. Shelters, yeah. Well, there are those of us who actually injure ourselves whenever we pick up any kind of tool. In fact, I only have two tools and I injure myself, but I use these two tools for everything. One is a hammer and the other is a screwdriver. You can do anything with a hammer and a screwdriver. Mostly, I injure myself. But wait. For those of you like me, here is the perfect shelter for you. You want to contact this company. It's called Vivos, V-I-V-O-S. They've got you covered. For $35,000, members can reserve a space in their 137,000-square-foot nuclear-hardened shelter located in scenic Nebraska. It promises protection against the effects of a supervolcano, a global tsunami, an electromagnetic pulse, biological warfare, a shift in the Earth's magnetic polarity, and the mysterious phenomenon known as Planet X. I didn't even know there was a mysterious phenomenon known as Planet X. Does anybody know what that is? I don't feel so bad. Okay, anyway. The shelter features a fully equipped urgent care triage hospital, a mechanical repair shop, hydroponic gardens, and a water purification facility with a deep water well. And because they are completely prepared, there is a fully stocked wine cellar and hair salon. It is the ultimate gated community. You know, we just sang that song, O God, our refuge, O God, our help in ages past, a shelter from the stormy blast. Let me give you a little advice from somebody else who was asked about the end of the world. His name was Martin Luther, and this is what he had to say. And this isn't going to cost you $35,000. It's probably only going to cost you $35. When Luther was asked, what would you do if you knew that the world was going to end tomorrow? He is reported to have said, I would go out this afternoon and plant an apple tree. Really? An apple tree? Yeah. To show my faith in a gracious and loving God who will not let the world come to a destructive end. Oh yeah, that must be the God who every time the God made something, whether it was the heavens or the earth or the stars or the water, said, and it was good, and it was good. This must be the God who said, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only son, whoever believes in him shall not perish. We are called to be beacons of hope, lights shining in the darkness, reflecting the light that no darkness can overcome, Jesus Christ. I'm going to go with the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, who says in today's reading, Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has given us these promises is faithful. Okay, there's another category. It's called equipment. This is going to be important. Obviously, food and water and first aid kits are a must, but preppers cover all bases and are creative at turning non-doomsday products into essential survival gear. Jeremiah Sullivan, who developed the chainmail anti-shark suit, says that his company, Neptonic Shark Suits, field about 20 to 30 inquiries a year from people all over the world interested in buying his suits to prepare for the zombie apocalypse. Now, you got to understand, I want you to go back and look at that reading from Daniel. That's exactly what Daniel's talking about. He's talking about the zombie apocalypse. Now, we all know that zombies are people who wake up from the dead. Isn't that exactly what Daniel said? That there will come this time when the dead will rise? Some will even go to everlasting life. Okay. They only sell their suits to professional divers currently. But as soon as they meet their first professional zombie fighter, they'll have to add them to their client roster. I don't know. I'm going to go with the writer to the letter of the Hebrews who says, all you need is a true heart full of the assurance of faith that has been washed in the waters of baptism. cleansed with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I like it. I'm going to go with that. Final advice. Where will you be on December 21st, 2012? What will your destination be? Don't worry. They got it for you right here. It's a little surprising, I think. Denver, Colorado. Denver, Colorado. At Hotel Teatro, they are offering a Live While You're Alive package. It is available now through December 21st, 2012. You know, it's funny. Here's a number we've heard before. For $35,000, you'll get one night in the Chancellor's Suite while being waited upon by a personal butler. Expect to start the evening with Dom Perignon and caviar. A six-course meal with wine will follow, but it doesn't end there. You'll also receive massages, a private helicopter ride, and a $25,000 shopping spree to a nearby jewelry store. Who needs jewelry for the end of the world? If you survive Doomsday, you'll be invited back for a complimentary night in 2013. Now, I don't know how many of you have $35,000. I know I don't. And they kind of suspected that people who order pizza probably don't either. Because at the very end of this, they write, "If this is out of your price range, not to worry. Throw your own party." Okay, six things to know when you throw your own party. One, make sure you have secured a great location, whether it be beachside, the top of a skyscraper, a cabin in the woods, or some other venue like your own house. I don't know, I was thinking maybe we ought to come here to this house. I don't know, I think this would be a good place to come, don't you think? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we refer to this as a sanctuary. Do you know what that means? A safe place. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to go here. Two, have a Last Supper. Seriously, that's what it says. Have every guest bring what would be their Last Supper. I don't know, what would that be? Bread? Wine? That might work, you think? Three, decorate in Mayan fashion and build a blazing fire. I don't know. I kind of feel like Daniel. Maybe we ought to just be like shining stars, beacons of light and hope. Here's my favorite, though. Project apocalyptic films late into the night. You know what we should do instead of that? I got it right here. I want you to look at the letter to the Hebrews. It says you should project apocalyptic films into the night. Four lines up from the back, from the end of the Hebrews, four lines up, see where it says? And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Boy, I tell you, that's what we Christians are called to do, isn't it? Provoke. How do you do that? Provoke one another to love and good deeds. Do you just go around forgiving everybody all the time? That really would provoke people, wouldn't it? Provoke to love one another. We got to work on that. Provoke to love one another. Okay, number five. Encourage costumes. Zombies, perhaps. I don't know. I'm going to still go with Daniel, shine like the stars and be that beacon of hope. And then finally, there's this. This is the most fun. Make a playlist. Here are some suggestions to get you started. It's The End of the World by REM. I don't know. I'm going to go with My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. Number two, The End by The Doors. Oh God, Our Help in Ages Past, maybe? Rapture by Blondie. Blessed Assurance by Fanny Crosby. Zombies by The Cranberries. I Know That My Redeemer Lives, Duke Street. And finally, Until the End of the World by U2, I'm going to go with Lord of All Hopefulness. Because we come here on Sunday mornings, we come here to be fed and to be nourished and to be to be the hope, to shine like stars. Because we who have received God's word and promises, we know that God's presence is with us always, even to the end of the age. We are fed and nourished to shine like stars. We can lead the way, as Daniel says, in any end times. And that is to simply be a reflection of God's love, to be a reflection of the light of Christ, the light that no darkness can overcome. We Christians are at our best. We are at our very best, not when we're fighting over sexuality, not when we're fighting over marriage, not when we're fighting over anything, not when we're making up creeds or doctrines or dogmas. We Christians are at our best when we shine like stars and we show the world the hope that we have in the Savior of the world, the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.